The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, German and comedy might not be something you expect to hear in the same sentence, but on BBC's Question Time last night, German comedian Henning Wenn spoke about what he saw as the pointlessness of a second referendum. We have a clip of him.
On a more serious note, out of curiosity, don't tell me which way around you voted last time. But if you had your time again, who would vote differently?
Who would vote differently?
Who would differently? A handful of people. That's it. The outcome would be give or take exactly the same. Because if you were unhappy...
In this audience.
No, across the country. If you were unhappy with the level of immigration 2 years ago, you're going to be unhappy with it now.
No.
If 2 years ago you felt the country's run by unelected European Union bureaucrats, well, I don't know what have changed your opinion on that one over the past 2 years. And if you were daft enough to fall for the 350 million quid a week for the NHS line, well, if you're that stupid, you fall for something equally daft next time round. So I genuinely believe it would be give or take exactly the same. The best you could hope for is 52-48 the other way, and that would make things a lot worse than they are now.
There we go. And now we have Peter Kanefic from Spark Market Research. Spark have done some research on UK attitudes into Brexit and a second referendum. Peter, can you tell us a little about what you found?
I can indeed. Good to speak to you, Carol. Well, interesting listening to that clip. He wasn't actually that far off. In the research we did, we ran a piece of research among over 1,000 people, nationally representative sample in the UK, finishing this Wednesday for about a week. And actually, of the people who voted last time, 92% would vote the exact same way they did before.
Well, that could basically 92% of 52 would give you like a 48-52 going the other way, perhaps, if everyone who was undecided didn't vote the way they did before. So is what you're telling us that everyone has just reaffirmed what they thought the first time?
Well, if we were to run a vote tomorrow, what we get is leave 47% and remain 53%. So it wouldn't be quite the massive swing that sometimes maybe in Ireland we think that, you know, they'll suddenly see the light all of a sudden and change their voting intentions. What we see is that of the people who did vote, that most of them will vote the same way. We do see some changes. I mean, where would the swing be in this? I think what you get is you've got some people, there's more people will switch their vote from a leave to a remain. So there's only about 8% of people would actually change their vote, and most of those are going from leave to remain. But also what you get as a change this time is there's about 7% of people who didn't vote last time are saying they would vote this time. And again, the majority of those would vote to remain.
That's very interesting. Thank you for that, Peter. I'm also joined by Nick Ferrari, a presenter of Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC Radio in London. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Carl, good to hear you.
Good to hear you too. Tell me, people are saying we should have a second referendum. What do you make of that? Possible? Realistic?
I think, actually, Henning Wenn last night probably put his finger on something. Look, this week has been, as with every other week, an extraordinary one in that the Labour Party has moved its position. Jeremy Corbyn talking about support for a second referendum. Let's just remind your listeners, he was really backed into a corner there because he's lost 8 of his MPs already, and there could be some more, and indeed he's lost one to suspension over another story to do with allegations of anti-Semitism. So he had to do that. But the reality is, I think, if you felt that you were left behind, a bit like Donald Trump, if you were in the rust belt of Pennsylvania when you were attracted to vote for Donald Trump, your life has not improved. If you live in some of these great northern cities, I mean great in size, and by the way, Leeds, Blackburn or something, has your life radically improved? No. In fact, it's probably got a little bit worse. So you're still going to vote leave. Where Remain would pick up the vote, which is quite interesting, is, and I haven't got the figures to hand, but research was done that a lot of young people, and I don't know, remember about your youth, Carl, but I can remember that perhaps I wasn't always as motivated as I might have been by the democratic process, didn't get out of bed and didn't vote. And there is a sense now that they were so horrified that you would turn out the youth vote. So the figures that your other contributor just quoted, I sense a lot of that would be the young people. But you're absolutely right. It's not going to tip the dial this that dramatically. And as I ask people who come on my radio show, from Michael, now Lord Heseltine, Peter, now Lord Mandelson, Sir Vince Cable, the leader of the Liberal Democrats, suppose it did go 53-47 for Remain. Do you honestly think Leave are going to go away? Nigel Farage is just planning a march or a walk or a rally from Sunderland to Westminster that's going to take 14 days and you've got to pay 50 quid to take part in it.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me something. I won't be taking part in any of those.
I'll put your name down.
I think I'll sign you up. Yeah. I'll get you first. Tell me, Remain, okay? There's only one party that, as far as I can see, has a standard issue of a single policy, which is Remain, and that's the Liberal Democrats. And yet they're not swamping up all of this discontent and raging ahead in the polls. Why is that?
Yeah, first-class point there. And if you look at the last general election, which a lot of the leavers will quote, particularly the hardline leavers, the Brexiteers, the extreme, if you will, they say that, look, at the last general election, if you count the three main parties, the Conservatives, the Labour and the Lib Dems, as you just quoted, Carl, the Conservatives and the Labour between them got more than 80%, I think it was 84% of the vote. So that's the Lib Dems and all the others, the DUPs, the Scots, Nats, By Cymru, all of those pick that vote up. So whatever it is, they're just not able to break through. Probably because, it has to be said, Sir Vince Casey is not really the most charismatic leader. I think if you had a younger bloke, if your listeners can remember Nick Clegg when he first burst onto the scene, he was much, much younger. He was charismatic. I think, although there's still an age gap, young people could identify with him far more than a man who effectively looks like the grandfather they see only on Christmas or birthday.
That backhanded compliment of the week to you. Tell me, I want to ask you something, though, OK? We're hearing that about 50% of people want to remain, but they're not supporting the policy that clearly, or the party that clearly wants to remain. So who are they supporting? I mean, if everyone is supporting the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, but their message is Brexit means Brexit, or, you know, we're going to go ahead with Brexit, I don't get it. How can 50% of people feel that way, and yet they're supporting parties that are clearly saying that's not what we're going to do?
But you know what's happened here now? I think Leave v Remain is now bigger than politics. So people feel more keenly about we must stay or we must lose, we must leave, than they do I am a Conservative and I am Labour. That loyalty to Remain or Leave is far greater, and many parties can't keep up. And remember this, and I need to do this for balance, the Labour Party has been riven and has had a very bad week. The week before last actually went 8. Well, the Conservatives are equally riven, and we had the Prime Minister this week, just to round up, remember she said that no deal is still there, it's not going to come off the table, and suddenly we hear that the no deal could come off the table, and we hear that there could be an extension. And that she has refused to even countenance, let alone say, for months, she, because of splits that she can see, or because of deals that she needs to do, even she changes her position. So in a way, have some pity for the poor electorate of this country, because a policy that is absolutely mandated on a Monday is forgotten by Thursday.
But these all sound like incompatible objectives.
Yes.
How do you resolve all of these things? How does that, like, if the politicians can't even figure this out, how is, you know, just someone walking along the road living their life? What are they thinking? Is there anyone who actually has any idea what, outside of, I suppose, anecdote or surveys, is there any research showing how people actually interpret this, what they believe it means? Because I remember hearing a poll about a hard border in Ireland, and they were asking people on the street, and a lot of people had no idea what it meant.
Yeah, unfortunately, I would have to say that unless you're in the media, and so I obviously have to know about it, or unless you're tuned in, people do not know as much about the border, and it probably was the lion that didn't roar or the dog that didn't bark, whatever you want to say, in the whole referendum campaign. I actually came over to Dublin and I did some reports. And in fact, I came to your studios at one point. So we did cover it. But I don't think the politicians made enough of it. But I just remind your listeners, without blitzing them with too many statistics, remember how the vote, I think you referred to this, Carl, the vote actually was 52 place 48, 52 leave, 48 remain. So don't be surprised. It's such an extraordinary muddle now because the country as a whole didn't actually know what it wants. So the extraordinary deal or no deal that Mrs. May has done probably represents 52 plays 48, because if it was 75 played 25 on a leave, they would have been in a much stronger position. So in a way, they were hamstrung from the moment the vote was announced. How are you ever going to turn that into a shining mandate?
I would imagine you won't. Is it a case then that what we can actually expect is all of this tough talk that Brexit means Brexit, no means no, and no deal is always on the table? But when it comes down to the wire, if there's not going to be an extension, and I think that both sides have some strong power plays, Europe can't back down. We have to explain to Italy and many other countries that they're not allowed to run deficits the size they want, and that the negotiations have to be quite strong. I think government in the UK has to do the same thing. But when faced with the prospect of no deal and the chaos that could come with that versus a deal, will that mean that the existing agreement is going to start looking a lot better. I use the expression the best looking horse in the glue factory.
I love that. You'll have that on LBC on Monday without any credit to you, by the way, Carlos.
Oh, lovely. Cheers.
Simply steal it, don't worry.
Give me a few lines to Rob back, will you?
Michael Portillo, the veteran, former Conservative politician, now broadcaster, told me the week before last, anyone who thinks he knows what's going to happen is either deluded or drunk or possibly a bit of both. And I think he's probably right. But look for some deals to be done. We have a week now where there's not actually a crucial vote that could bring down the government, could embarrass Theresa May, could do all sorts of things. You're starting to hear rumours or suggestions that the Brexit Secretary, Stephen Barclay, who's off to Brussels, along with Geoffrey Cox, who's the Attorney General, that there could be a codicil, a side letter about how long the backstop will be in position. There's suggestions that some of the ERG, that's the extreme right, that's the Jacob Rees-Mogg's and the extreme Brexiteers, if you will, that they might prepare. I think there's a sense, and you touched on it a moment ago, there is a sense for some that if they don't go for this deal, they might never Brexit. And that is possibly, as well as running down the clock, that's possibly Mrs. May's best tactic.
You also mentioned there earlier that Leave Remain has become bigger than parties. Do you think that as we get closer to the time that Leave Remain will become bigger than party loyalty? In other words, would you see people cross away from what their party is calling for to put their votes and support and break voting along party lines? Things become that fragmented? Could that be the big surprise?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why you've got the TIG, the independent group, which has attracted, what have we got now, 8 Labour MPs and 3 Conservatives, and I think there could be more. And this is, you have to go back to the formation of the SDP back in the early 80s, and that had politicians of the heft of Roy Jenkins, who'd been Home Secretary, Shirley Williams, Dr. David Owen. These were big, big names. Okay, Chuka Amuna, your listeners have probably heard of Chuka Amuna, but most of the others struggled to be a name in their own household or their neighbours, let alone really breaking through. But I can see other people going, particularly if this goes disastrously, at the big vote, which is the week after next.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, look, we're going to have to wait and see. Nick Ferrari from LBC Radio in London, who presents the Nick Ferrari at Breakfast Show. Thanks a million for joining us, as well as Peter Kanefic, who gave us that research from Spark Marketing.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.